This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر. وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من صام رمضانا إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our creator, our cherisher, our nourisher and our sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came in the great line of divine. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah in His infinite wisdom and mercy has made the human being a combination of body and soul, element of animality and spirituality. And therefore within human nature there are present all the physical and carnal propensities that are peculiar to animals on the one hand as well as angelic dimensions on the other. And therefore it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever allows his carnal self, his lower self, إن الله تعالى خلق الملائكة وركب فيهم العقل وخلق البهائم وركب فيهم الشهوة وخلق بني آدم وركب فيهم العقل والشهوة فمن غلب عقله على الشهوة فهو أعلى من الملائكة. That person who allows, subdues his carnal self from wrongdoings and wrongfulness due to the higher intellectual and moral propensity that he has, that person is higher than the angel. وَنْ غَلَبَ عَقْلَهُ عَلَىٰ فُمَ الشَّهْوَةُ عَلَىٰ عَقْلِ فَهُ أَدْنَى مِنُ الْبَهَائِمِ. But if you're animalistic, your carnal appetites supersede your intellect, your reasoning and your moral balance, then person can be worse than an animal. And therefore you need to take heed. Even the senses that we have, on the one hand we can see, but do we observe? We have hearing, we can hear, but do we listen? And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran warns us about this, that there are those who hear but they listen not. And there are those who see but they observe not. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنْ. They have eyes, they can see, لَا يَبْصِرُونَ بِهَا, but they don't observe, they don't have insight. وَلَهُمْ آذَانْ, they have ears, they can hear, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, but they don't listen. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, in fact, they are worse. بَلْ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, because they are أُولَٰئِكَ, they are the people who are heedless and don't pay attention. It is like on of this reality that we look at fasting in relation to self-discipline. Fasting in Islam involves abstinence from three primal physical needs of the human being. Three primal physical needs of the human being. In other words, if we were to fast all the time, none of us would survive. If we were to fast all the time, if you pray all the time, you can pray all the time. If you give charity all the time, you give charity all the time. You go Hajj all the time, Hajj all the time. If you fast all the time, you will not survive, because you remove from yourself the three primal needs of the human being: food and drink for sustenance and for living, and of course intimate relation, which is for survival and perpetuation of the human species. And we do this fasting in the month of Ramadan from dawn to dusk during the entire month for 29 or 30 consecutive days. So this is the fasting which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala al-ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, O you who proclaim faith, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed to those before you, in order that you may attain unto righteousness. So the siyam, the sawm, the fasting is given to us as a prescription, and has been enjoined upon human beings in every age by every prophet throughout history. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, as it was prescribed to people before you through the prophets. And the notion of fasting is to improve the human conduct and the human condition in relation to their own self, and more particularly in relationship to their Creator. The fast of Ramadan is one of the greatest means of inculcating self-discipline. It's one dimension of fasting, and it's the one we're focusing on. And this is a discipline imposed sometimes, very often we have discipline imposed by others. We do things because we are commanded. We drive in a particular way, specifically when there is a cop on the road, then we abide by the rules even more. We may go over red light, but when the cop is there, we don't even go over the orange light. But this abiding by outside rules, the idea of fasting is to inculcate within ourselves that level of consciousness that we willingly do those things which are right, and we willingly avoid those that are wrong, and over and above that, we are conscious that Allah is ever observing us. So the highest of all disciplines, the greatest of all disciplines, it's not those who only apply or abide by the rules, but those who, even without being monitored, are able to live to the standard of righteousness and goodness. So Islam emphasizes the institution of fasting as a highly spiritual as well as a moral discipline. And not only in action, but both in motive and in action. In inner motive and in outward action. In motive, fasting, like any other good deed, requires purity of intention and honesty of purpose. And in form, in practice, it demands abstention from engaging in any form of unlawful and improper behavior. It's very important to understand that. Otherwise, as the Rasul in Hadith documented Ibn Majah, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. Perchance there are those who fast and they attain nothing but the fast except hunger. And perchance you stand in prayer and you achieve nothing from your prayer except tiredness. It's more than just the ritual. There's also the spiritual dimension that we need to consider. So this degree of sincerity coupled with self-control is an expression of mastery of one's higher self over one's lower self, of subduing the carnal appetites, of developing better human beings, focusing on the larger purpose of our existence. And with discipline, it is far easier and more pleasant to follow the dictates of law and to be in tune with the demands of our soul. To follow what is right, morally and logically, requires a form of worldly commitment. And this may not always come automatically. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّءٍ, because the self has an inclination sometimes to deviate, to do what is wrong. And therefore, this discipline can be developed, and fasting is one of the best ways of developing that discipline. But where do we begin? Besides the niyyah to fast, besides doing certain things more in Ramadan than other times, besides abstaining from food and breaking the fast at the time when fast has been broken, praying more, reading more, Quran perhaps, and may Allah accept all our deeds, however short for, however far it may fall short from the ideal, may Allah accept it from us, inshallah. But the beginning for us is whoever acknowledges that he or she has shortcomings, that person has already started on the path of self-discipline. You can't think of self-discipline unless you sit back and think, you know, I acknowledge the fact that I have shortcomings. There's some people who read much Quran, so they read much Quran in Ramadan. Very good. But you don't prevent them from lying or cheating or being abusive or underpaying the staff. So they come to masjid, take off of Dhuhr, come to Salah, make in Jama'ah, and still underpay the staff when they go home this afternoon on Friday. You've done your ritual. There's no spiritual connection between what you are doing from your prayer to the next prayer. So it's very important that we must acknowledge shortcomings. And when you have acknowledged that you have certain shortcomings, that means you've already started on the path of self-discipline. You see, there are many people who are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves, and therefore they remain where they are. There's a saying in America, if you keep doing what you always did, you keep getting what you always got. Not proper English, by the way, but nonetheless. If you keep doing what you always did, you keep getting what you always got. If you do the same thing, you'll get the same result. Unless you improve, unless you change, unless you move into a higher gear, you'll remain exactly where you are. And therefore, it begins with the self. And that's why we speak about self-discipline or tawbah or maghfirah. It doesn't begin by listening to the lecture and saying, I must give this lecture to someone else. Then you've missed the point. It must begin, as Sayyidina Ali said, whoever wants to set the world right, فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِتَعْلِيمِ نَفْسِهِ قَبْلَ تَعْلِيمِ غَيْرِهِ. Whoever wants to set the world right, let him begin with himself or herself. And therefore, should begin with disciplining the self before wanting to discipline other people. Ancient philosophers have said, mastering others is strength. To master yourself, that is true power. And the best victory is to conquer the self. And as the Sufis, they say, the foolish want to conquer the world. The wise one wants to conquer himself. The foolish want to conquer the world. The wise one wants to control himself. Now the first step to gaining self-control, besides identifying the fact that we have faults, and if you feel you don't have any faults, then that's the biggest one. We need to identify areas in our lives that need more control. We have to take a close look at our habits. Have a close look at the character traits we possess. If your friends were to describe you in one word, what would they say? What would your neighbors say about you? If you were to die today and they were to write one word on your tombstone, what word do you think they would write? Honest, loving, compassionate, argumentative, angry, rude, what would the word be? What would you like it to be? So wise ones have said, live your life in such a way that you have an idea of what you want on your gravestone and then make that a reality. What would your friends say about you? Your neighbors? What do your enemies say about you? Are they maybe right in some of the things that they're saying? So take a closer look at our habits. A closer look at our character traits that we possess. Look at the opinions we hold and the attitudes we display. Even if you are correct, what's the attitude? One of the major problems I have in my life is people who are religiously correct, but their arrogance and their harshness with which they correct other people, undermine other people, is more hateful for me when I see it than the basic wrong that someone was doing. I give an example once. In the States, somebody just embraced Islam and he prayed. And he had a Bermuda three-quarter pants on, just took shahada, it's a Hindu brother, and he went, he said, I said, go home, take a shower. He said, no, I already took a shower. I want to become Muslim now. I said, you will come to be Maghrib. He said, no, 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 what if I die? So I said, okay, let's do the Shahada. So now he couldn't even pray properly, but he wanted to embrace Islam. So he prayed in the masjid, and I said to him, just observe how the people are praying. Now don't worry about the other loose prayer. When you pray together in congregation, then you pray with everyone. You see everybody doing the same thing. Just see what they are doing. Now this brother now was watching other people being sunnah, so he also wanted to make sunnah for dhuhr. So he's watching and making going down, and one person came in. Reprimanded him in such a harsh way. Brother, your qibla is out, your salah is batil. He doesn't know qibla, he doesn't know batil. The brother became so shocked and so afraid, he never returned to the masjid again. I'm sure the brother was rectifying him mentally. The manner. The manner. There is only sunnah in doing what you do. There's a bigger sunnah in the smile the Prophet had in how he told people to do it. A man came in the mosque, well documented in books of all schools of thought, and urinated in the Masjid al-Nabawiyyah Sharif. Well documented. No doubt about the incident. Said Umar got very upset. Some of the Sahaba wanted to beat him up. Now the mosque wasn't like this, of course, it was sand. In the Masjid al-Nabawiyyah Sharif, and the Rasul said to the people, they want to beat him. He said, no. The person who complained, he says, you go and take water and you clean it, and then advise him what to do. That is sunnah. Sunnah. That is a big sunnah. We completely must. We do many sunnahs that suit our culture. The way we dress, mashallah, all good, very good. But you'll always see, very often, it's very linked to our culture. But the sunnah of the smile, not there. The sunnah of always getting people back, farad of getting people back, is not there. The compassion for each other is not there. The lack of suspicion on people, that's not there. So which sunnah are we following? Let's do the whole sunnah. Some of them we fall short, and some of you don't fall short. But since you are aware of the ones you fall short, let's do those also. And may Allah grant hidayah to those who are not doing the sunnah that you are doing. So our habits, the character traits we possess, the opinions we hold, and the attitudes that we display, our diet, exercise, and care for our general health. And also our relationships. Our relationship with ourselves, with our loved ones, and with our Creator. Once we identify those things in our lives that need more control, we can start by gaining little victories, by small efforts. And in Islam we say, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves that you do something consistently, even if you do it little by little. So from an ethical and moral perspective, we should therefore contemplate in this month of Ramadan, this month of fasting, of Quran, of Siyam, of Qiyam, the higher purpose and the deeper meaning of our lives, because it's meant to transform our lives. It's not meant for us to read the 30 juz from beginning to end only, or make Taraweeh or Qiyam or whatever we do, that's good, or to complete the fasting or abstaining from food, that's obligatory. But it's much more than just that. It is a far more important effect and impact, and therefore we should contemplate on the higher purpose and deeper meanings of our lives. Trying to live meaningfully, balancing our physicality with our spirituality, and therefore we say fasting promotes a heightened level of spiritual consciousness, but at the same time social consciousness, because if you cannot fast, what do? You feed the poor. What's feeding the poor got to do with my fasting? That's an ibadah. That is a different form. Yes. But the idea of social consciousness, if you cannot, you feed the poor. There's a direct link between the spiritual internal act and social consciousness. Those who fast are therefore referred to in the Quran, not only as those who are doing an ibadah, which is fundamental, they are doing ibadah with a very deep degree of consciousness. They're going through the motions, and therefore Allah refers to those who are fasting. He said as-sa'imun, no, he said as-sa'ihun. As-sa'ihun means those who are on a spiritual journey. Those who are on a spiritual journey. And a beautiful ayah in Surah Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. Glad tidings to such believers, to these true believers who inculcate these characteristics and these habits and these practices. التائبون, they are those who acknowledge their faults and they repent. Attend to Allah. Al-Abidun, those who commit themselves to the commands of Allah. Al-Hamidun, those who are grateful for the bounties of the Creator. As-Sa'ihun, those who are fasting and by means of that they are on a spiritual journey. Al-Raki'un, As-Sajidun, those who bow and prostrate to none other than Allah. Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'ruf, they command what is right to the best of their ability. Wal-Nahuna 'anil Munkar, they forbid what is evil to the best of their ability. Wal-Hafidhuna li-Hududillah, and they live within the prescription, the prescribed limits of Allah. They try not to break the rules that Allah has said. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, glad tidings to those believers. So fasting is indeed an exercise in the pursuit of divine blessings, of barakah. And therefore the Rasul said in hadith, document Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانًا إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with due faith, with proper faith, sincere faith, yani, and with due consideration, doing what's supposed to be done. You don't give charity and humiliate the people. Or swear someone, you give charity, or I'm giving my sadaqah or fitr, now go, get out. No, not that. Or boast about what you do, or belittle, or humiliate, or show off. Man sama Ramadan imanan wahtisaban. Acknowledging that the reward is only from Allah, not for show, not for gain, not for popularity, not for humiliation, not for status. Allah says, I forgive you whatever sins of the past that you may have. May Allah grant us to be among those. So fasting is far more than abstention from the necessities of daily living. Fasting is a mode of enhancing self-discipline. Among the benefits of fasting, there are multidimensional benefits. It is an opportunity for regulating our attitudes and enhancing our conduct. It serves as a resource, a soul, Jannah. Fasting is a protective shield, is a means of attaining taqwa. Kutiba alaykum siyam la'allakum tattaqoon. Perchance you may attain unto God consciousness, unto righteousness, unto piety. Ramadan is thus a month of high intensity spiritual development, of character building, of self-discipline, a month of the pursuance of taqwa. And taqwa, by the way, is the highest standard in the estimation of Allah of human excellence, as Allah says, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable of you in the estimation of Allah, the most honorable are those who are most righteous. But there is a rider, فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ascribe righteousness to yourself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Only Allah knows those who are truly pious. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. The world has also lost one of the great sporting heroes, and though his life was varied and troubled at times, as a man through whom much of Islam was spread in many parts of the world, and who became the most popular person, and he bore the name of Muhammad and Ali. So may Allah grant him forgiveness for his shortcomings. And for every person who took Shahada, I was inspired by him. I certainly was very much inspired at the opportunity of hosting him in 1994. May Allah grant him maghfirah and the highest place in Jannah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله.